Welcome back to Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. Unions and other groups celebrated a major victory a few days ago when one of two measures to raise California's minimum wage to $15 an hour made it onto November's statewide ballot. But over the weekend, Governor Jerry Brown has apparently reached a deal with unions to gradually increase the state's minimum wage from its current $10 an hour to $15 over several years. The ballot measure, if it passed, would have been a quicker increase to $15 than Governor Brown's plan. Polls indicate that such a measure would have likely passed. My guest is Paul Son. He is the General Counsel and Program Director at the National Employment Law Project. Welcome to Rising Up, Paul.
Hi, thanks so much for having me on.
So let's try to understand what exactly has happened over the last several days. It's a little bit tricky. I understand there were two measures that have been trying to make it onto the ballot. One did, and now it's up in the air if that measure is even going to stay on the ballot if unions accept a deal by Jerry Brown. Is that accurate?
Yes, that's what the reports are. And there's now out on the wire a press conference that I believe the governor and other Sacramento players are planning to hold imminently to, it's reported, announce this agreement, which is really historic. It would result in very large raises for more than one in three workers in the state, reversing years of falling pay.
And of course, when we're talking about California, we're talking about the state, the nation's most populous state. And so this, and it's also the nation with the most diverse population. If you just look in broad strokes at, for example, the size of the Latino population versus the white population, how significant is it for California to be nearing such a deal nationwide?
Yeah, it's tremendously significant. I mean, California is, the $15 minimum wage proposal, which was, launched 2.5 years ago at the striking fast food workers, was thought, politically unachievable by really just about all observers when it was first put on the table. In a few short years, they've now made it a policy reality, or on the cusp of making it policy reality, in the nation's largest economy, California. And New York lawmakers, as you've likely seen, are attempting to negotiate a similar agreement this week in New York. And if that indeed is brokered, you would have the two of the most economically significant states in the country, representing about 19% of the U.S. workforce, delivering $15 minimum wage and raising pay for together would be up to approximately 10 million workers.
10 million workers, you said?
Good combining New York and California. California alone, would be approximately 5.5 million workers in California. Close to a million, about 900,000, are already on track to get $15 minimum wage under the city level and county level policies that have been approved over the last, a year or two in Los Angeles, San Francisco, and other LA and Bay Area.
And I'm glad you brought that up. So there have been local measures in cities in California. However, those only cover those particular metropolises. And many of California's workers, exist outside those two metropolises. Are there any exemptions, as far as you know, in either the governor's plan or the ballot measure for, say, farm workers or home domestic workers or home care workers or any the sort of standard exceptions? I'm assuming there's probably an exception for tipped workers.
No. I as far as the reports are, I mean, California's minimum wage really applies to, all of those categories of workers, and significantly for tipped workers. California is one of the states that sets the standard nationally, where tipped workers get the full minimum wage and then tips are in addition. And the news reports on the agreement with the governor have not indicated there are any exemptions at all. And it's
so that's quite remarkable.
I think it's very significant. The reports are that the wage would go to $15 by 2022 for most firms, and then smaller businesses with fewer than 25 employees would have an additional year until 2023 to phase up to 15.
Now, was the phasing in period faster on the ballot measure if Jerry Brown hadn't struck this deal, which we are assuming will go forward, and we had a ballot measure in November that Californians would likely have passed, would the phase into 15 be quicker?
It would have been slightly quicker, a couple of years quicker, but it's still, you know, it's still a very significant accomplishment, this agreement. I mean, it really would begin for the first time, reverse decades of widening wage inequality and including for populations that are often not always included in some state policies. For example, when the state approved paid sick days guarantee.
Paid sick days. Mm-hmm.
Workers in the state, home health care workers were left out. And so this, it's also reported that the agreement would fix an omission in the state's paid sick days law. When the state extended paid sick days guarantee to workers a few years ago, home health care workers were left out, and it's reported that the minimum wage agreement would also fix that omission and extend basic paid sick days coverage to home health care workers in the state.
Now, Paul, a lot of the reason for why minimum wages around the country have stagnated is because they've just not been pegged to inflation. Inflation has gone up, costs have gone up, you know, lots of things have gone up much faster than wages. Wages have just stagnated. Does California's deal that Jerry Brown is putting forward peg future minimum wage increases to inflation?
Yeah, and it's reported also that it pegs future increases to inflation, that once the wage phase is up to 15, it would be adjusted each year based on the consumer price index up to a capped limit, reportedly. So it would ensure that the wage does not then begin to erode again in the future.
So all of that is very, very promising. Now, how would this impact the state's economy? Are there examples of even looking at the cities where the minimum wage has been raised to $15 an hour? Are there any predictions that we can make about how the economy will improve when the minimum wage rises? I mean, most chambers of commerce warn us and have the sky is falling attitude that if you raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour, it will drive out businesses, the economy will get terrible, and all of us will suffer. What do you think will happen?
The economic evidence from the first cities that have approved and started to phase in $15 minimum wages is very positive. San Francisco and Seattle, after they approve $15 minimum wages, have seen their low-wage industries, such as the restaurant sectors, continuing to grow at record levels. It really indicates that there's no reason to think that California's economy can't be transitioned to a $15 minimum wage. The leading research on this topic has been published by University of California, Berkeley economists, and the key thing their studies show about these $15 minimum wages is they generate much more of an increase in consumer spending than small minimum wage increases do, and that those big increases in consumer spending result in increased sales and enable employers to offset the higher wage costs and transition to paying a $15 minimum wage without cutting jobs.
And is there anything in this plan in California to assist small businesses that might have trouble transitioning?
Well, so the governor's proposal, I think, has a one-year slower phase-in for small businesses. But something else, though, that the Berkeley research shows is that actually small businesses in many places will enjoy a disproportionate boost in new sales when workers get the $15 raise. That is because low-income people in California and nationally disproportionately spend their their paychecks at smaller businesses such as convenience stores that tend to be locally owned, are often located in low-income neighborhoods. So they are likely to receive a disproportionate boost in increased sales once the workers in their communities start to transition to the $15 wage.
And so finally, Paul, just going back to what we started out discussing in terms of the ripple effect of California and possibly New York, the issue of income inequality has really, I think, taken a hold of the public imagination. Both of the two leading candidates for the Democratic nomination said that they will back a $15 an hour federal minimum wage. Do you see this as a really golden era this year, possibly being a really golden era for raising the minimum wage nationwide? I'm expecting there are states where there will be ballot measures in November to raise the wages, if not to 15, then to certainly something higher.
The striking fast food workers have made raising the minimum wage the top economic policy question in the nation going into the election. We're going to see a group of states putting much higher minimum wages on the November ballot, and we expect to see campaigns for $15 minimum wages following California's lead in a variety of states and cities, including New Jersey and Washington, D.C.
Well, Paul, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Give out a website for your organization.
Yes, we have. Our website is N as in Nancy, ELP.org for National Employment Law Project. We also maintain RaiseTheMinimumWage.org, which has a lot of minimum wage information on it, including on the Fight for 15.
That's NELP.org and RaiseTheMinimumWage.org. If you missed those, we'll post them to our website, RisingUpWithSonali.com, later today. Paul, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Sonali.
Paul Son is the General Counsel and Program Director at the National Employment Law Project. This is Rising Up with Sonali. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. Back in just a moment.